Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, October 19th. One of the finest human beings to ever walk the earth. Midland oil industry had a strong champion and innovator in Jim Henry. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. A top hand, a philanthropist, a top oil man who's dabbling in the Permian Basin oil fields opened the Wolfberry play that paved the way for the shale revolution that re-energized the Permian Basin. Jim Henry was all those things and more, a legend in Midland, the Permian Basin, and the oil and gas community. He passed away Tuesday at the age of 89. Funeral services will be at First United Methodist Church, 300 North Main Street, at 11 a.m. on Monday. Services will be a time of celebration, said Danny Campbell, co-manager at Henry Resources and responsible for overseeing Henry's investments. Quote, "That's what Jim wanted to celebrate and move forward," end quote. Quote, "He was so much about the employees," Campbell told the Reporter Telegram by telephone. He noted that Henry had turned 89 on September 23rd and was always challenging us over what was next for the next 7 years. Campbell said Henry and his wife were always thinking of others, thinking of doing the right thing, looking for the win-win. Henry frequently said the oil patch built his company and family, and he wanted to give back, Campbell recalled. With his philanthropy, quote, "Jim wanted to build a fence at the top of the cliff and not ambulances at the bottom," he recalled. "Jim was one of the finest human beings to ever walk the earth," Ben Shepherd, president of the Permian Basin Petroleum Association, told a Reporter Telegram by telephone. Quote, "Jim's generosity is legendary, and in a region known for its philanthropy and community involvement, Jim's legacy stands head above most," end quote. Henry was passionate about the Permian Basin, Shepherd continued, quote, "And fortunately for all of us, one of his passions was the Permian Basin Petroleum Association. He was one of our longest and strongest supporters. He also served as PBPA chairman and was awarded our Top Hand Award," end quote. Shepherd called Henry a mentor to many, and recounted the countless hours he spent with Shepherd, mentoring him and explaining his vision for the Permian Basin oil and gas industry and the PBPA. Quote, "Jim wanted the PBPA to be strong like the Permian Basin and put a great deal of his time, talent, and treasure into pursuing those goals. And all of that is on top of his professional successes in the industry. The success of the Henry companies rival any of the operators in the history of the Permian Basin," Shepherd said. Henry was born in Andagoya, Colombia, where his father was a mining engineer. The Henry family returned to the U.S. in 1939, living in Marion, Kentucky. He graduated from the University of Oklahoma with both a bachelor's degree and a master's degree and petroleum engineering. After working for Humble Oil and Refining, then Skelly Oil Company, and then Solar Oil Company, Henry formed his own company, H&L Consultants, with Bob Landenberger in 1969. He bought out Landenberger in 1977 and founded Henry Petroleum, selling it to Concho Resources in 2008 and starting Henry Resources. Quote, "Jim Henry was a leader in our community and in our industry, said Tim Leach, advisor to the CEO at ConocoPhillips and the former chairman and CEO at Contra Resources. Quote, he built a quality company that became a foundational part of Contra and now ConocoPhillips. Without his visionary leadership, Midland and its impact on our nation would not be as strong, end quote. A Sprayberry expert, Henry helped advance George Mitchell's horizontal drilling and hydraulic fracturing techniques in the Sprayberry, giving rise in the early 2000s to the Wolfberry play. Henry said his company had concentrated its drilling efforts in the Sprayberry trend, and when Mitchell's fracturing technique was brought to the Sprayberry by ARCO, quote, we lashed onto it and took it throughout the entire Midland Basin after ARCO dropped it, end quote. He stepped down from day-to-day activities to focus on community involvement and charitable activities while remaining chief executive officer, having formed the Henry Foundation. Henry, his wife Paula, and three children have served on nonprofit boards and, personally and through the foundation, given more than $30 million since 1996 to organizations and entities from Midland College to the United Way of Midland to Leadership Midland, the Society of Petroleum Engineers, the Bush Tennis Center, and efforts to support local teachers. Quote, Jim Henry made a difference in his world, wrote Bobby Burns, former Midland mayor and current president and chief executive officer of the Midland Chamber of Commerce. Quote, he set the example of how a true, fine gentleman would walk through life. Jim would always do the right thing, and he would sacrifice for us. His desire to help others was insatiable, end quote. MCT opening The Girl on the Train Friday. The story was written by Morgan Taylor Thomas, staff writer. Unlike any other performance done by the Midland Community Theater cast, The Girl on the Train brings mystery and thrill to life. Divorcee and recovering alcoholic Rachel Watson becomes infatuated with a perfect couple she sees every day on the train. However, one day she notices the woman is missing and she's the prime suspect. The story shows how quickly obsession can turn into danger and how life's greatest falls lead us down dark and twisty paths. The playwright, created by Rachel Wagstaff and Duncan Abel, is based off the psychological thriller written by Paula Hawkins. The play first published in 2018 and became the third installment following the book and then the 2016 movie. With themes such as murder, mental health, and substance abuse, MCT has placed an age requirement of at least 14 for all attendees. Friday's opening night performance will be followed by a large array of refreshments and snacks. As always, there will be a themed drink special available for purchase during the show at the theater's concessions. On October 24th, cast, crew, and supporters will take over Hoop and Barrel for a Girl on the Train happy hour with specialty drinks and fun. Friday's opening night performance will begin at 7:30 p.m. in Maybe Theater 2. Tickets can be bought at mctmidland.org. The show will run every weekend through November 11th. The cast. Rachel is played by Samus Spencer, Megan by Maya Johnson, Anna by Renee Poxick, Scott by Chase Cochran, Tom by Ben Spencer, Kamal by Jonah Thatcher, and Gaskill by Hiram Flores. Here are some obituaries that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, October 19th. James Stanley Alliga of Bryan, Texas, passed away on October 9th at the age of 94. Jim was born on November 19th, 1928, in Tecumseh, Oklahoma, to Samuel and Florence Halliga. He graduated from high school in Denver City. At the age of 16, he entered Texas A&M University. Jim received his bachelor's degree from Texas A&M University, where he was a member of the Aggie Corps of Cadets and was a Ross volunteer. After graduation, Jim was a fighter pilot in the Air Force. In 1952, he met the love of his life, Joy, and they married soon after. He was initially stationed at Reese Air Force Base in Lubbock, Texas, and then the family moved to San Angelo, Dallas, and eventually Midland, Texas. Jim and Joy took over the Halliga family business and built a successful travel agency as well as several other business ventures. Jim was preceded in death by his parents, Samuel and Florence Halliga, and his sister, Beverly Peavy House. He is survived by his wife, Joy Halliga, of Bryan, Texas, his daughter, Jennifer Wood, and husband, Richard, of Murchison, Texas, his son, Dr. Ron Halliga, and wife, Melody, of Bolivar, Missouri, and daughter, Amy McMahon, of Bryan, Texas, as well as seven grandchildren and seven great-grandchildren. A memorial is being held at First Methodist Church in Bryan, Texas, on October 27th at 11 a.m. In lieu of flowers, please feel free to make a donation to the Aggie Corps of Cadets, the Texas A&M General Scholarship Fund, or First Methodist Church in Bryan. Michaela Ibarra, known to friends as Mickey Ibarra, age 75, of Midland, passed away on Saturday, October 14th. Viewing is scheduled for Friday, October 20th, from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., with a prayer service at 7 p.m. at Heavenly Gate Funeral Home. Funeral service is set for Saturday, October 21st, at 10 a.m. at Community Baptist Church. Burial will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens. Funeral service is under the direction of Heavenly Gate Funeral Home and Chapel. Family messages and condolences may be mailed to Pipkin at nts-online.net, or you can visit the website at www.LlewellynGarciaPipkinFH.com.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, October 19th, 2023. Happenings. What's Up with Midland by Morgan Taylor Thomas. At Centennial Park, Rise and Run, Saturday. Food Truck, Wednesday, October 25th. Movie in the Park, The Addams Family, October 27th. On Colorado Street, Downtown Farmers Market, new location, every Saturday. At the Destination, Open Mic Night, Thursday. Friday Night Live, The Rick Carr Band, Friday. Art Tigerina Band, Saturday. Bring Your Own Blues Jam, October 26th. Friday Night Live, Whiskey Cult, October 27th. Rita Cappuccina y Grupo Animo, October 28th. At the Horseshoe, the Life Center Fall Fundraiser, October 24th. Rig Zone Career Fair, October 25th. Cruise for a Cause Car Show, October 28th. Permian Basin Hiring Event, October 31st. At La Hacienda, Los Farmers y Herencia de Grande, Friday. El Potro y Piporín, Sunday. At Midland Community Theater, The Girl on the Train, Friday through Sunday, October 27th and 28th, November 3rd through 5th, and 10th and 11th. At Museum of the Southwest, Sensory Dome Shows, October 30th. At the Tailgate, Party in the Permian every Thursday, Family Fun Day every Sunday, Basin Brunch with DJ Pauly D Saturday, Pecos and the Rooftops, October 26th, John Wolfe, October 27th, William Clark Green with Drake White, October 28th. At Tall City Brewing Company, Geeks Who Drink Trivia every Tuesday, Tall City Beer Run every Thursday, Beer Release Saturday, October 28th, Halloween Trivia October 31st. At the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center, Aaron Lewis Thursday, Casting Crowns 20th Anniversary Tour, Friday, Permian Basin's 16 Hands Piano Concert, Saturday, Josh Turner Long Black Train Anniversary Tour, Saturday, Cinema Under the Stars, Hocus Pocus, Sunday, Chorale Fall Recital, October 24th. Sound of Silence Tribute, October 24th. Temptations and the Four Tops, October 28th. Johnny Cash, The Official Concert Experience, October 29th. Three things to do in Midland this weekend, October 20th through 22nd, by Morgan Taylor Thomas. Party with the locals. Head over to the destination for an evening of small town rock and good vibes presented by the Rick Carr Band. Frequent flyers over at the eccentric venue, the Rick Carr Band's large local following earned the crew spots in multiple music festivals and as an oil show after party. The event is free to the public. Friday, doors open at 7 p.m. Music starts at 8 p.m., 1705 West Industrial. Fist Pump with the Jersey King. The time has come for all of Midland to embrace the Jersey Shore King, DJ Pauly D. As part of this month's Basin Brunch out at the Tailgate, Pauly D will bring club-like tunes to the corner spot while mimosa towers and bottle girls bounce through the audience. As a reverse brunch, the event will take place in the evening. It will also be Halloween-themed, so costumes are encouraged. Tickets can be purchased at thetailgatemidland.com. Attendees must be 21 and over. Saturday, 5:30 p.m. to midnight, 4401 North Big Spring. Hocus Pocus for Breast Cancer. Kick off Halloween, the last week of October, with a screening of fantasy comedy film Hocus Pocus at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. As part of a fundraiser for Pink the Basin, tickets to the event cost $10 and can be bought at wagnerknoll.com. There will be free popcorn on site, as well as food trucks and other themed goodies. Costumes are encouraged. Food trucks and lobby open at 5:30 p.m., show at 7 p.m. 1310 North FM 1788. MCT opening The Girl on the Train Friday by Morgan Taylor Thomas. Unlike any other performance done by the Midland Community Theater cast, The Girl on the Train brings mystery and thrill to life. Divorcee and recovering alcoholic Rachel Watson becomes infatuated with a perfect couple she sees every day on the train. However, one day she notices the woman is missing, and she's the prime suspect. The story shows how quickly obsession can turn into danger and how life's greatest falls lead us down dark and twisty paths. The playwright, created by Rachel Wagstaff and Duncan Abel, is based off the psychological thriller written by Paula Hawkins. The play first published in 2018 and became the third installment following the book and then the 2016 movie. With themes such as murder, mental health, and substance abuse, MCT has placed an age requirement of at least 14 for all attendees. Friday's opening night performance will be followed by a large array of refreshments and snacks. As always, there will be a themed drink special available for purchase during the show at the theater's concessions. On October 24th, cast, crew, and supporters will take over Hoop and Barrel for A Girl on the Train happy hour with specialty drinks and fun. Friday's opening night performance will begin at 7:30 p.m. in Maybe Theater 2. Tickets can be bought at mctmidland.org. The show will run every weekend through November 11th. Cast: Rachel Sama Spencer, Megan Mijah Johnson, Anna Renee Posk, Scott Chase Cochran, Tom Ben Spencer, Carnal Jonah Thatcher, Gaskell Hiram Flores.
Hello, friends. This is Julie reading from Permian Proud. Today is October 19th, 2023. UTPB to host free Aaron Watson concert after homecoming parade. The University of Texas Permian Basin is inviting the community to a free concert from country star Aaron Watson on Friday, October 27th. The event will kick off with UTPB's annual homecoming parade around campus starting at 7 p.m. Aaron will perform at Kirk Field starting at 7:30 p.m. Guests are encouraged to bring their own lawn chairs to enjoy the show, university officials said. Food trucks and beer for sale will be available on site. No outside food or drinks will be allowed. After the concert, UTPB will light a bonfire and host a fireworks show. Then on Saturday, October 28th, UTPB's football team, which is off to a historic start to its season, will host Western Oregon at Astound Broadband Stadium in Midland for its homecoming game. UTPB is located at 4901 East University Boulevard in Odessa. National Merit Scholarship Program commends four Midland ISD students by Mike Aldax. Four exceptional Midland ISD students were recently named commended students by the 2024 National Merit Scholarship Program, according to the school district. They include Amalia Ganta, Fiona Lee, Rylan Mattis from Legacy High School, Nugent Nana from Early College High School at Midland College. The distinction indicates the four students scored among the top 3% of all students nationwide on the pre-SAT National Merit Scholarship Qualifying Test, the school district states. Being selected as a commended student is a particularly remarkable accomplishment to add to each student's college application portfolio, alongside the AP Scholarship Award with distinction, and each received in July, said July Bridges, MISD Director of Advanced Academic Services. Midland ISD wishes these young people well in their future endeavors. Congratulations to all. The students will be recognized at the MISD Board of Trustees meeting on October 16th. Odessa artists' famous daily window displays return for the holidays. Halloween is just around the corner, which means it's time to drive by the Herrera home in Odessa. Melody Herrera, a talented artist who paints wondrous new scenes on the window every day in the days leading up to Halloween and Christmas, recently announced the return of the daily display. Herrera is hosting the 31 Days of Halloween Painting by Skelly, while Melody is painting a new image on her home's window every day till Halloween. Her husband, Jacinto, arranges a 7-foot-tall skeleton into different scenes and funny situations on a daily basis at their property. They are light and humor, sometimes based on scenes in popular movies, Herrera said. The displays have become a popular annual feature during the holidays in Odessa, as he wrote about in the last story. We have met so many people who share their stories about how they pass by our house daily with their families at night and every morning before work and school to brighten their days, Herrera said. We have other people who tell us they take pictures to share in the office while at work. Sometimes Herrera is approached with requests for certain window displays as well. It's been such a pleasure to get to know so many people here in Odessa because of something so silly and fun, she said. Herrera provides an album on her Facebook page that is public and shows all the days with Skelly from that year. Rain or shine, we're always out there to make sure a scene is in place for everyone to enjoy, she said. The story attaches some window displays featured on the property so far this year. These can be seen at permianproud.com. Cinema Under the Stars, Halloween Edition, coming to Wagner Noel. The Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center is inviting the community to the Halloween edition of Cinema Under the Stars, featuring the movie Hocus Pocus. The event will take place on Sunday, October 22nd, at the Arts Center located at 1310 Farm to Market 1788 in Midland. Doors open at 5:30 p.m. and the movie starts at 7 p.m. The event is free for UTPB students, faculty, and staff with UTPB's IDs and $10 for the community. Enjoy free popcorn from Complex Community Federal Credit Union, jewelry for sale from Kendra Scott's latest collection, and a costume parade on the stage of the Arts Center. Anyone interested can participate in the costume parade across the stage before the movie starts. Food trucks will be parked in the east parking lot from 5:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. UTPB football cracks top 25 poll for the first time in program history by Mike Aldax. Amidst a scoring start to the season, the University of Texas Basin, UTPB, football team made history today by cracking the D2Football.com top 25 poll, coming in ranked 25th, according to Brandon War, UTPB's athletic communications specialist. UTPB is close to being ranked in the AFCA Division II coaches poll, currently on the outside looking in, for the third straight week receiving 27 votes, War said. The recognition follows the Falcons' 6-1 start to the season, which included an 86-7 win over Southwest Baptist, 41-40 win over West Texas A&M, 29-17 win over Texas A&M Kingsville, 21-13 win over Midwestern State, and 52-29 win over Eastern New Mexico. The Falcons' lone season loss was by 8 points to West Colorado, which is ranked 14th in the state poll. It's good to be recognized nationally for the work our guys have done, UTPB head coach Kirk McCullough said. First 25 ranking in school history and the first top 25 matchup this week for our program. The Falcons' next test comes at 6 p.m. Saturday when they play Angelo State, which is ranked 18th in the D2Football.com poll. UTPB's football program first launched in 2015 under former head coach Justin Kerrigan, who in 2022 departed the role to become deputy athletic director at the university. McCullough, previously a successful coach at East Central University in Oklahoma, was described as a young rising star upon being hired to take over as coach for the Falcons. D2Football.com Top 25 Poll, October 16, 2023. First, Colorado Miners, 7-0. Second, Grand Valley, 5-1. Third, Pittsburgh State, 7-2. Fourth, Minnesota State, 7-0. Fifth, Ferris State, 4-2. Sixth, Delta State, 7-0. Seventh, Harding, 7-0. Eighth, Slippery Rock, 7-0. Ninth, Beninji State, 5-1. 10th, Benedict, 7-0. 11th, Lenoir Rhyme, 7-0. 12th, Indianapolis, 6-0. 13th, West Florida, 5-2. 14th, Western Colorado, 7-0. 15th, Davenport, 6-0. 16th, Achiuve Baptist, 6-1. 17th, Central Missouri, 6-1. 18th, Angelo State, 4-2. 19th, Shepherd, 6-1. 20th, Virginia Union, 6-1. 21, Augustana, 7-0. 22nd, Truman State, 6-1. 23rd, Emporia State, 5-2. 24, Virginia State, 7-0. And 25th, UT Permian Basin, 6-1. UTPB Soccer's Tiana Leguero named Lone Star Conference Player of the Week. UTPB's senior midfielder Tatiana Leguero has been named the Lone Star Conference Offensive Player of the Week for Week 6, becoming the first player to earn the offensive honor in program history and the second overall, according to the university's athletic department. The honor follows her strong performance in UTPB's 5-1 victory over West Texas A&M on October 4th. The first positive result against the Lady Buffs in program history, according to UTPB. Leguero netted a goal just 25 seconds into the second half and added 3 assists, recording the Falcons' first hat trick since October 26, 2008. She has scored a goal in 3 straight games and leading her team to its best conference start in program history at 3-1-2 over the last 6 games. Hello, friends. This is Julie reading from Permian Proud. Today is October 19, 2023. UTPB to host free Aaron Watson concert after homecoming parade. The University of Texas Permian Basin is inviting the community to a free concert from country star Aaron Watson on Friday, October 27th. The event will kick off with UTPB's annual homecoming parade around campus starting at 7 p.m. Aaron will perform at Kirk Field starting at 7:30 p.m. Guests are encouraged to bring their own lawn chairs to enjoy the show, university officials said. Food trucks and beer for sale will be available on site. No outside food or drinks will be allowed. After the concert, UTPB will light a bonfire and host a fireworks show. Then on Saturday, October 28th, UTPB's football team, which is off to a historic start to its season, will host Western Oregon at Astound Broadband Stadium in Midland for its homecoming game. UTPB is located at 4901 East University Boulevard in Odessa. Volunteers, donors sustain Meals on Wheels in Reeves County. Amid uncertain economic times, Reeves County officials are lauding its volunteers and donors for ensuring the community's Meals on Wheels program can continue to serve community members in need. The Reeves County Home Delivered Meals Program serves communities including Pecos, Saragossa, Balmoray, and Barstow. The program provides hot, nutritious meals to elderly, disabled, or homebound clients from Monday through Friday. Meals are prepared at the Annex Building at 700 Daggett Street, across from the nursing home in Pecos. Volunteers deliver meals to clients between 1:30 p.m. and 10:30 p.m. weekdays. We have suggested and rely on donations and volunteers to help our efforts to make Meals on Wheels a vital and available program in our community, program officials stated out online. They describe volunteers as their eyes and ears for returning with information from clients, family members, and residents on various needs. Reeves County expressed gratitude to all of its many volunteers, including businesses who encourage their employees to participate, as well as individual volunteers. Regular volunteers include employees from Reeves and Ward counties, Odessa College, Gravity Services Professional Pharmacy, Nancy Martinez, Barney Natividad, Janice and Wayne North, Pecos Waterworks, Pecos Gunworks, Manny Paris, Rosa Zaragoza, Jessica and Javin Acosta, and Marilyn Acosta. We are so thankful for all the yearly donations from Chevron, D.C., Town of Pecos City, program officials said, and also Century Lodging and personal donations that come in to support Meals on Wheels. For more information or to find out how to volunteer or donate to the Reeves County Home Delivery Meals Program, contact Meals on Wheels.
This is Christy, and I'll be reading Odessa American for October 19th, 2023. Understanding and Reducing Stroke Risks by guest contributor, October 19th, 2023. Family features. As the second leading cause of death worldwide, according to World Health Organization, stroke will affect 1 in 4 adults over the age of 25 globally. A condition where the blood supply in the brain is disrupted, a stroke results in oxygen starvation, brain damage, and loss of function. There are two main types of strokes: ischemic, which occur when a blood vessel carrying oxygen and nutrients to the brain is blocked by a clot, and hemorrhagic, which are less common but can be more serious, occur when a weakened blood vessel ruptures and begins leaking blood. According to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, 87% of strokes are ischemic. Because a stroke can cause lasting disability and pain for those impacted and their loved ones, it's important to learn how to identify the signs and symptoms of a stroke, how to reduce risk factors, and where to go for timely treatment. Consider this information from the experts at Cerenovus, who are committed to changing the trajectory of stroke and offering a broad portfolio of devices used in the endovascular treatment of stroke to learn more. Know the signs and symptoms. If you suspect yourself or a loved one is experiencing a stroke, act fast is critical in getting timely treatment necessary to survive. If you recognize the signs and symptoms of a stroke, face weakness, arm weakness, and speech slurring, it's time to call for help. Reducing the amount of time between the onset of a stroke and treatment can make a difference in how well the brain, arms, legs, speech, and thinking are able to recover. The longer a stroke goes untreated, the greater the chances are of experiencing long-term disability, brain damage, or death. Reduce stroke risks. While strokes can be devastating and deadly, up to 90% are preventable, according to the World Stroke Organization, and many risk factors can be controlled before they cause a stroke. By managing conditions like high blood pressure, diabetes, obesity, and atrial fibrillation, AFib, ceasing smoking, eating a healthy diet, getting regular exercise, and taking prescribed medications, you can decrease your risk. Address health inequities. Communities of color are disproportionately affected by stroke risk factors and have poor experiences when it comes to timeliness and access to stroke care, referral patterns, treatment utilization, and outcomes, according to research published in the Journal of Stroke and Cerebrovascular Diseases. In fact, the risk of having a first stroke is nearly twice as high for Black people, according to the CDC, and members of the Black community have the highest rate of death due to stroke. Additionally, according to the American Stroke Association, non-white stroke patients veterans are less likely to arrive by EMS and experience longer emergency department waiting times compared to white patients. Nowhere to go. For every minute a stroke occurs, 1.9 million brain cells are lost, and the longer a stroke goes untreated, the greater the chances are of experiencing long-term disability and brain damage. That's why it's critical to seek immediate treatment at the nearest comprehensive or level 1 stroke center. These facilities offer a full spectrum of neuroendovascular care, which can help patients taken directly there survive without long-term disabilities. Understand treatment options. Seeking immediate treatment for stroke means you have more treatment options available, such as being eligible to receive tissue, plasminogen, activator, or mechanical thrombectomy, MT, for ischemic stroke, MT, a minimally invasive blood clot retrieval procedure helps improve the chances you'll survive an ischemic stroke and make a full recovery. Treatment options for hemorrhagic stroke include surgery to remove, repair, or clip a ruptured aneurysm. If you or a loved one experience signs of a stroke, seek immediate emergency medical services. To learn more about stroke risk and treatment options, visit jnjmedtech.com.
This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter Telegram Health and Wellness for Wednesday, October 18th, 2023. Breast Center. Getting your mammogram is time well spent. What can you do in 15 minutes? You can take your dog for a short walk. You can drop your kids off for soccer practice. You can load the washing machine. You can send a work email. What can you do to take care of yourself? What do you still have the energy to do? Have you taken time to do what really matters? Picture yourself at the end of a long day when everyone and everything is settled and you finally have a minute to breathe. The last thing you want to think about is when you were due for your annual mammogram. You think to yourself, can it wait until next month? You were so incredibly busy. Then you remember your family history and decide that you will call in the morning. The next morning comes and you wake up the kids, cook breakfast, make sure your hair and makeup look their best, and out the door you frantically run. After arriving at work, it seems like just 5 minutes have passed when you realize it is time for lunch. You stop to take a short break and think to yourself, don't forget to call after work and schedule my mammogram. Your workday ends and you rush out to pick up the kids, make supper, and drop everyone off at their multiple activities. Next thing you know, it's late and scheduling your mammogram will have to wait until tomorrow. Then you finally remember to call the next morning. You take a quick moment to call so you won't forget. Then you breathe a sigh of relief. Your appointment is finally scheduled. Finally, after work, between cooking and laundry, you stop to write your appointment down on the calendar. Your appointment is on Friday. You remind yourself to ask for a few minutes off from work to get the mammogram done. Now it's Wednesday and you remember to ask for the time off. You are finally set. When Friday comes, you get everyone off to school and work, then head over to the mammogram center. You walk in and are seen quickly and out the door and to work. You are only 30 minutes later than your normal arrival time. You have an overwhelming sense of completeness. Your mammogram is finally done for another year, and you have done something good for yourself. That was 15 minutes well spent. A few days later, your results come in the mail and everything is good. You think to yourself, I'm glad that is done. You are that there are no signs of breast cancer. You are glad you didn't let your busy life get in the way of your health. After all, if you don't take care of yourself, you can't take care of my loved ones. 1 in 8 women will get breast cancer sometime in their lifetime. As mammographers, the common response from patients as to why they wait to have their mammogram is, I didn't have time. Please take time for yourself. Breast cancer is very treatable and most often curable if caught early. This is a reminder that we are all important to someone. Take care of yourself and do your annual screenings. To help with your busy schedule, the Breast Center at Midland Health is open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Saturday from 8 a.m. to noon. Please take just a minute of your precious time to take care of yourself and call to schedule your mammogram. Our scheduling number is 432-221-2300. Mayo Clinic Minute. Why you and your family need a flu shot. If you haven't had the flu in a few years, there's a reason. As Dr. Napuni Rajapaksi, a pediatric infectious disease physician with the Mayo Clinic Children's Center, shares, all the more reason to ensure you and your family are vaccinated this year. the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommends that everyone 6 months and older get a flu shot and make it a goal to be vaccinated by the end of October. Quote, we know that our population-level immunity to influenza is lower than usual because we've had lower rates during the COVID times, end quote, says Rajapaksi. Public health measures during the pandemic, wearing masks, washing hands, and social distancing, not only helped reduce COVID-19 transmission, but also lowered the spread of the flu. Quote, fewer people have had influenza infection and illness. They don't have the antibodies from that experience. We're all the more dependent on the antibodies from vaccination to protect us in that situation, end quote, she says. Why get a flu shot? Rajapaksi says getting vaccinated is an important way to build immunity and prevent infection. Quote, and so the recommendations still remain that anyone over 6 months of age should get an influenza vaccine this year, end quote, she says. This is especially true of young children, older adults, and those with weakened immune systems who are at higher risk of severe illness due to the flu. Quote, people's protection is going to come from vaccination rather than recent infection, and that makes it all the more important to get the vaccine, end quote, says Rajapaksi. Who should get flu shots? Everyone aged 6 months and older should get a yearly flu vaccine. It's especially important for those at a higher risk of severe flu complications. Those at risk, higher risk of complications from flu include young children under age 2, adults older than age 65, residents of nursing homes and other long-term care facilities, people who are pregnant or plan to be pregnant during flu season, people with weakened immune systems, American Indians or Alaska Natives, people with chronic illnesses such as asthma, heart disease, kidney disease, liver disease, and diabetes. Getting the flu shot has important benefits. It reduces flu cases, doctor visits, missed work, and school days due to flu, and lessens symptom severity, lowering flu-related hospitalizations and deaths. Along with vaccination, practicing good hand hygiene and avoiding people who are ill are ways to prevent transmission and illness. Scenes from the third annual Pink in the Park. Pink in the Park, an event hosted by Gifts of Hope and the Young and the Breastless, gathered survivors, supporters, family, and friends on Saturday morning for the third annual Pink in the Park. The event helped raise awareness in the community through education, guest speakers, a survivor fashion show, local vendors and raffle items, food trucks, music, and a victory lap. Mayo Clinic Minute. Fall can be painful for those who suffer cluster headaches. Cluster headaches aren't that common, but they are extremely painful, and they often occur during the fall season. A cluster headache is a rare headache disorder that differs from a typical migraine or headache. Less than 1% of the population have cluster headaches, but for those people, it's an intense experience because the headaches come on fast and hit hard. Imagine being woken up abruptly by excruciating head pain that reaches peak intensity in seconds. Quote, then there is 15 to 20 minutes of this pain, which is so severe that patients often cannot sit still. They have to get up, pace around, maybe push on the head or bang things against the head. And then again, it shuts off like a light switch, end quote, explains Dr. Carrie Robertson, a Mayo Clinic neurologist. What Robertson is describing is a cluster headache attack. Quote, for patients who struggle with this, for 6 to 12 weeks, they have multiple headaches per day, maybe 1 to 8 headaches per day, and then just as abruptly as the cycle started, the cycle will shut off. And they might be headache-free for months or even a year before another cycle starts, end quote, says Robertson. Many times, cluster headache will occur without a trigger. However, a cluster headache tends to be seasonal. Quote, the fall is one of the seasons that we frequently see patients with their cycles starting, end quote, she says. There's no cure for cluster headaches, but treatments are available to decrease the severity of pain, shorten the headache period, and prevent the attacks. Quote, we've made a lot of progress in the past 10 years, but we're actively pursuing additional treatments on an ongoing basis, end quote, says Robertson. Study examining why breast cancer is deadlier for Black women. Are 3D mammograms better than standard 2D imaging for catching advanced cancers? A clinical trial is recruiting thousands of volunteers including a large number of Black women who face disparities in breast cancer death rates, to try to find out. People like Carol Stovall, a psychologist in Washington, D.C., have signed up for the study to help answer the question. Quote, we all need a mammogram anyway, so why not do it with a study that allows the scientists to understand more and move closer to finding better treatments and ways of maybe even preventing it, end quote, Stovall said. The underrepresentation of women and minorities in research is a long simmering issue affecting health problems, including Alzheimer's disease, stroke, and COVID-19. Trials without diversity lead to gaps in understanding of how new treatments work for all people. Quote, until we get more Black women into clinical trials, we can't change the science. And we need better science for Black bodies, end quote, said Ricky Fairley, a breast cancer survivor and advocate who is working on the issue. Black women are 40% more likely to die from breast cancer than white women and tend to be diagnosed younger. But it's not clear whether 3D mammography is better for them, said Dr. Warda McCaskill-Stevens of the National Cancer Institute. Quote, are there populations for whom this might be important to have early diagnosis? End quote, asked McCaskill-Stevens. Quote, or is it harmful, causing too many false alarms or unneeded follow-up tests and treatments? End quote. McCaskill-Stevens, who is Black, leads NCI's efforts to boost access to cancer research in minority and rural communities. She has joined the study herself. The newer 3D technique has been around for a decade, but there's never been conclusive evidence that it's better than 2D at detecting advanced cancers. The screening technique combines multiple pictures of the breast taken from different angles to create a 3D-like image. Both 3D and 2D mammograms compress the breast and use low doses of radiation. Prior studies suggest that 3D finds more cancers than 2D, but catching more cancers doesn't necessarily mean more lives saved. Some cancers missed by standard screening may not progress or need treatment. Previous studies did not randomly assign patients to a screening method, the gold standard for research. The notion, quote, that if it's new, it's shiny, then it's better, end quote, isn't necessarily true, McCaskill-Stevens said. Quote, until we have the evidence to support that, then we need well-designed randomized trials, end quote. The trial has enrolled nearly 93,000 women so far, with a goal of 128,000. The NCI-funded study is now running in Canada, South Korea, Peru, Argentina, Italy, and 32 U.S. states. A site in Thailand will soon begin enrolling patients. Quote, we added more international sites to enhance the trial's diversity, particularly for Hispanic and Asian women, end quote, said Dr. Etta Pisano, who leads the study. Overall, 42% of participants are Hispanic. As recruiting continues, enrolling Black women and other women of color will, quote, absolutely, end quote, continue as a priority, Pisano said. Participants are randomly assigned to either 2D or 3D mammograms and are followed for several years. The number of advanced cancers detected by the two methods will be compared. At the U.S. study sites, 21% of study participants are Black women. That's higher than a typical cancer treatment study, in which 9% of participants are Black, McCaskill-Stevens said. The University of North Carolina has signed up more Black women than any other study site. Nearly a quarter of the nearly 3,000 women enrolled at UNC's two locations are Black. Women ages 45 to 74 without a personal history of breast cancer are eligible for the study, which launched in 2017. Many women also are providing blood and cheek swab samples for a database that will be mined for insights.
Here is the Dear Abby column that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, October 19th. Long-distance couple eye future together. Dear Abby, I've been separated and divorced for 2 years. A year ago, I met a man through a mutual friend. He was also going through a divorce. We started communicating, fell in love, and have been traveling back and forth between Ohio, where he works and lives, and New Jersey, where I am. He wants me to quit my job and find a new one so we can make our relationship permanent in Ohio. I'm a sales support coordinator for a broker, and I have been with the company for some time. There's no guarantee I could find a job that pays as well as this one does. He has his own business and also cares for his elderly aunt and uncle. I want to be with him, but at my age, 60, I am hesitant to start a new job. Also, I'd be leaving my adult kids behind and would miss them dearly. It's a dilemma because I want to be able to see my kids as often as we can, but I also love this man and want to share my life with him. How do I figure this out? Signed, Hard Decisions to Make. Dear Hard Decisions, your work is cut out for you. Before making any decisions, do some exploring. Would moving out of state guarantee that you would have to sacrifice your well-paying job? Many people work remotely these days, and it wouldn't hurt to ask if it would be possible for you to do that with your current company. Are there similar job openings in the city where your gentleman friend lives? Relocating to Ohio would not necessarily mean you would no longer see your adult children. They could visit, and the reverse is also true. Other families surmount this challenge, and so could you. Give yourself some time to decide what is right for you. Dear Abby, I am divorced and have an adult son. He hasn't been back for 4 or 5 years. His dad had a heart attack, so my son took a few days to come home. I texted to see how his dad was doing and got only short responses. My son made no attempt to see me while he was here, not a one-hour visit or even a phone call. I have never been so hurt. I am beyond devastated. I know it's not about me, but I have feelings, and I feel like I don't exist to either of them. My ex and I are both in relationships. Should I quit trying to communicate with my son? I don't want to do this, but spin it any way you want. He didn't want to see me. So is it, when a door closes, quit knocking? I am crushed. What should I do? Signed, Still Mom in Canada. Dear Mom, your son's visit was not about you. It was about his father, who had suffered a heart attack and could have died. It's entirely possible that your son had his hands full dealing with his dad and the circumstances surrounding his treatment and care. If you hadn't seen your son in 4 or 5 years, you may not have been that close to begin with. Leave it alone. If you continue to pursue and personalize this, you will only drive your son further away.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.